Good evening. If you would turn your Bibles with me to the book of John, I'll be reading from chapter 4, verse 24. That's John 4 at verse 24, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. God is a spirit, and they say that worship him in spirit we must, and in spirit and in truth we must worship him. That was John 4 at verse 24.
Be here tonight. As always, we appreciate everyone's presence. Hope you had a good afternoon. We appreciate our time together every time we're able to gather together and to worship God. Appreciate the good singing, good song leading. Appreciate the good prayer that was offered. And we've already been blessed by being able to worship God. We are blessed because we have the Word of God. We all ought to appreciate the fact that we have ready access to God's Word. We certainly benefit from that. We're all familiar with 2 Timothy chapter 3 at verse 16. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and Paul said, is profitable. And so certainly we are blessed for all the things that the Word of God does for us. David, or the psalmist at least, said in Psalms 119, that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so we know what direction we ought to go because we have that guiding light in the Word of God. We can avoid stumbling over all of the stumbling blocks that the devil throws upon us because we have, again, the Word of God. And so, thankfully, we have God's Word, and unlike some people in some parts of the world, again, we have access to it so that we can read it and study it and meditate upon it almost whenever we want to. And so we are truly blessed. But sadly, there are many people, as we have often pointed out, who teach and preach things that aren't in the Word of God. There are those who add to it. There are those who take away from it. There are those who corrupt the Word of God. And so we often hear sounding out from the pulpits, from denominational churches, strange sounds that aren't in harmony with God's Word. Denominational dogmas and the various religious rules that come from the minds of men plague this society in which we live. And we have to make a decision at whether or not we are going to go by and live by the Word of God and teach and preach the Word of God or the doctrines of men. And so we want to, for the next few Sundays, talk about some very simple doctrines that most of us are familiar with, and yet, again, they plague the religious world, and every once in a while we find that we're even susceptible to some of these false doctrines. And so, as you could probably tell by the scripture that was read today, I want to begin by talking a little bit about worship. And particularly the idea, the false idea, that it doesn't matter how we worship God. There are many individuals, many preachers and pastors and denominational churches who think that as long as we love Jesus, it really doesn't matter how we worship. As I've often said, a lot of people think that God is so thrilled with the fact that we worship him that he really doesn't care. The how of it really doesn't matter as long as we attempt to worship him some way. And then you have what the Bible teaches, that there is a very specific way in which we must worship God. The scripture reading again that we're all very familiar with, John chapter 4 at verse 24. We must worship God, Jesus says, in spirit and in truth. And, of course, the spirit part of that is very significant. It has to do with worshiping God with the right attitude. You can do everything just right, everything the way the Bible tells us to do it. But if our minds, if our hearts are not what they ought to be, then our worship is unacceptable. We can't just go through the motions. God doesn't want to be worshiped in some kind of robotic fashion. He wants our hearts and even our emotions to be involved in worship. We must worship God in spirit. Paul taught the same thing in Romans chapter 12 at verse 1 when he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye give your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is his reasonable service. And so we find that when we worship God, the intellect is involved. The reason is involved. We don't just worship God blindly. We know exactly what we're doing because we are taught how to worship God in the Word of God. The question is, will we follow His Word? And again, there's so many people who think it doesn't matter. Well, when you turn over to Matthew chapter 15, turn to this passage just for a moment, just so that we can establish that it is possible to worship God in vain. Matthew chapter 15. And notice, if you would, at about verse 7, Matthew the 15th chapter, and the verse is 7, it says, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So we understand again the importance of the heart. But then he says, in vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So we know from God's word, it is possible to worship God incorrectly. It is possible to have vain worship. Like, it is amazing how many people just don't realize that, don't give that any thought at all. They don't even question how it is they worship God, because no matter what they're doing, as long as their hearts are in the right place and they feel emotions when they're attempting to worship God, they think that it is acceptable. But the fact of the matter is, we can worship God in vain. We can do that by our hearts not being in the right place. But we also do that when we don't worship God according to His Word. That's the truth part of it. John 17 at verse 17, Jesus, remember, said, Thy Word is truth. And so to worship God in truth is to worship God according to His Word. And that matters. I know some people would look at this passage and say, well, their worship was vain simply because of the condition of their hearts. And that's possible, as I just said. But it went on to say, in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And so we have to make sure that we are worshiping God, not almost, but exactly the way He tells us to in the Word of God. And that matters. Now we have to choose. So we have to decide, does that really matter? Like, I've had Bible studies with people through the years, many, many different Bible studies where individuals will actually understand what we're trying to teach. But then they have to make a decision. How important is it? And man would tell them right away, oh, it's not very important at all. Whatever it is that preacher told you about doctrine and how important it is to worship God in a particular way, that, do you love Jesus? That's all that really matters. And you just be surprised how many people in those Bible studies, we go through just simple fundamental things and they agree and they shake their head up and down, but they never obey the gospel because they make a decision within their own hearts. It really doesn't matter. And so we need to choose. Are we going to accept the idea that we can worship God any way we want to? Or are we going to side with the Word of God and understand the importance of worshiping God His way? Let's look at a couple examples. These are familiar examples, and so I won't take that much of your time tonight. And yet, these examples are important to go over from time to time. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. And the reason this is important to go over from time to time, I want you to think about it. There are individuals who have literally sat where you sit. And I say, I don't mean that literally, not exactly where you sit. But I mean in local churches, in the buildings of local churches, who have heard sermons on worship and how to worship, and who have even agreed with the truth, who now sit in denominational church buildings, worshiping God in vain. And so it is possible, even for folks like us, for me, for you, for elders, for deacons, to have the truth and know the truth and practice the truth, but then have a change of heart and decide to listen to the doctrines of men instead of the Word of God. And so it's good for us from time to time just to remind ourselves, looking at these simple Bible examples of people worshiping God in vain and how it really does matter how we do things. And here is the familiar example, of course, of Cain. In Genesis, the fourth chapter, it says, "And now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry and his face fell." The fact that Cain got angry didn't help anything. It certainly didn't change the fact that he failed in his attempt to worship God. I often point out, now you think about this example here, it's not like Cain was trying to commit idolatry. We all know idolatry is wrong. But here is a man who attempted to worship God. He was offering up a sacrifice to the God of heaven. But God did not regard his offering. Why? Because it wasn't according to truth. The simple fact is he didn't offer it by faith. And we know faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Romans 10 and at verse 17. And so even though, as I've said, we don't have all the pieces of the puzzle, we know that somehow he didn't do what God told him to do. He worshiped his own way instead of God's way. If people were right today, if we listened to the doctrines of men who say it doesn't matter how you worship, as long as you worship, Cain would have been all right. But it mattered. God rejected him. He got mad, but it didn't change the fact that God rejected him. He worshiped God in vain, and we can do the same thing. It can be because of our heart, but it simply can be because we don't do it the way the Bible tells us to. We don't have time to look at all the examples we could, but there are clearly many examples and specific application of it where denominational churches go wrong. They often take their own way instead of God's way, but it's a result of not understanding in the first place that it matters. What about Nadab and Abihu? We're familiar with that, aren't we? Let's turn over there. In Leviticus, the 10th chapter, beginning at verse 1, the Bible says this. Leviticus, the 10th chapter, end at verse 1. It says, "And now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord." Again, if men were right today, it really wouldn't matter, would it? If all that it takes is for us to have the right attitude towards God, and the only thing we have to think is important is the spirit part of that passage in John 4 at verse 24. What does it matter if it's authorized or not? Well, we find very clearly in this passage, it does matter. They offered unauthorized fire. I still like the old King James, strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. And then Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord said, among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Aaron didn't appreciate what God did. And we can understand that, of course. His sons lost their lives because, like Cain before them, they took their own way instead of God's way. And one of the things that we often point out here about this passage is the specific fire that they offered, God had said nothing about. We talked this morning. We didn't get a chance to deal with it. If you're in our Bible study, we'll pick it back up next week. But we argue from this passage as well that the silence of the scriptures do not authorize. And the fact of the matter is, again, some people say, if God hasn't specifically said we can't do this or we can't do that, it's all right. And sometimes that mentality creeps into worship. Where did God say we can't use the musical instrument? And so we're going to use it. Unless you can show us a passage where God said not to, then we're going to do it. Who said we can't worship, gather together, and partake of the Lord's Supper on Saturday instead of Sunday? Where did God say, don't do that? And the list goes on. Worship is corrupted because people have this view. And all they really have to do is go back to Leviticus chapter 10 and look at the example of Nadab and Abihu. They, again, like Cain before them, they were offering up incense to God. They were priests, religious-minded individuals. They had a famous father in Aaron. But again, they took their own way and offered unauthorized fire, fire that God had not commanded them to offer. And he condemned them, and they lost their lives because of it. Doesn't it matter? Can't we see from these Bible examples that it's not just worshiping God, it's how we worship God? And again, I could look in more detail at specific things like musical instruments, but that's not the point here. The doctrine is that it doesn't matter. And that is pushed and promoted openly. Because to say you have to worship God a certain way is legalism. To say you have to do it just right the way God has authorized is to be like the Pharisees. And so we don't have to worry about any of that. Just love God and worship him the way you think is right. And so in the religious world today, it's because of that, that we have all kinds of things that are going on in the religious world today. That's not even hinted at in the Word of God. And people think it's okay because they've been taught it doesn't matter. Will you ever drift into that kind of thinking? As I said a while ago, there have been members here who right now worship at denominational churches doing many of those things that aren't authorized by the Word of God. What are you going to choose? Not only now, not only tonight, obviously, we've made our choice for right now. What are you going to choose tomorrow? What are you going to choose next week or next month or next year? I hope we always choose the Bible over the doctrines of men. The truth that says we must worship God in spirit and in truth, and not just any way that we want to. There's another passage. Let's look at one more that highlights this, and then the lesson will be yours. Over in 1 Kings chapter 13, you remember, of course, that the dividing of the kingdom was divided into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Jeroboam, of course, was the first king of Israel, the northern kingdom. And Rehoboam was king over the southern kingdom. And the northern kingdom had an advantage in a lot of ways. It was larger. It covered more territory and all of that. But the advantage that the southern kingdom had is that Jerusalem was in its territory, Judah, of course. And so that was the proper authorized place to worship God. And so watch how Jeroboam tried to get away from all of that. In chapter 12, we back up in 1 Kings chapter 12. At verse 25, it says, And then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there. And he went out there and he built Peniel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom will turn back to the house of David. If this people go up to offer sacrifices in the temple of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn again to their Lord, to Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah. So the king took counsel and made two calves of gold. And he said to the people, you have gone up to Jerusalem long enough. Behold your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And he set one in Bethel, and he put the other in Dan, and then said, and then this thing became a sin, for the people went as far as Dan to be before one. He also made temples on high places and appointed priests from among all the people who were not of the Levites. And Jeroboam appointed a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah. And he offered sacrifice on the altar. So he did it in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places that he had made. And he went up to the altar that he had made in Bethel on the 15th day in the 8th month, in the month that he, now listen to this, that he had devised from his own heart. And he instituted a feast for the people of Israel and went up to the altar to make offerings. Now let me ask you, did any of that matter? Do you think it was okay for Jeroboam to do all of that? After all, he was afraid for his life. He didn't want his people going back down to Jerusalem because they would meet Rehoboam there and be influenced by him and then want to go back and kill him. So he made his own places of worship. He made these calves and put one, as we just read, in Bethel and the other one in Dan, so they wouldn't have to go to Jerusalem to worship. And I know what you might think. That's not a good example, and that part of it probably isn't, because that was actually idolatry. Everybody knows that would be wrong. But what if they didn't commit idolatry? What if we omitted that part of it and he didn't make calves for them to worship? What if he just changed the festival, devised a new festival in his heart and made up these temples and just decided that he would decide on his own who would be priests, whether they were from the tribe of Levi or not, doesn't matter. Just made priests from all, took priests from all the people. Would any of that matter? Of course it would. They would have been condemned even if they never committed idolatry. Because now, as the record says, they were worshiping God according to a plan that Jeroboam devised in his own heart. And that's exactly what people are doing today, over and over again. And nobody thinks that there's any problem with it whatsoever. They worship God any way they want to. They think of different ways to do it. They devise it in their own heart. It doesn't matter if there's a thus said the Lord. And all of it is based upon the fact, all we have to do is love Jesus. All we have to do is worship God, and he'll be thrilled that we do it regardless of how we do it. Don't ever be persuaded by that. It is the most popular view in the religious world. The denominational realm, of course, dominates the religious world. And so most people, most of your friends in denominational churches, family members even, believe that very thing. It doesn't matter how, as long as we do it. But what are you going to choose? I thank God that I'm a member of the Brown Street Church of Christ. It's not because this is a perfect local church. We're far from that. There's a lot of areas where we can improve. But as Connor prayed in his prayer, it was a very good prayer. We are scriptural organized, and we should appreciate that. and we worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, the spirit part of it really is individual. I can't vouch for all of you, and you can't vouch for me along those lines. But we do for sure worship God in truth. That is a fact. There's not one thing we do here at the Brown Street Church of Christ. We can't put our finger on the passage and say, this is exactly why we give when we do, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, the reason why we sing and don't use musical instruments. Everything we do is right according to the Word of God. That's not a brag. That's not a boast. Listen to me. It's not anything to boast about. Not like God says, great is the least that God expects. He demands that we do exactly what he says. And that's the point. And I appreciate that we do. And so should you. And don't let the devil ever change your mind on that. Because he'll try. He'll try to get you to think like the majority and to drift into the idea that all you have to do is show up somewhere, no matter where it is, and worship God somehow, and it'll be okay. That's the doctrines of men. The Bible says, in vain they did worship me. I hope we'll make the right choice. There are many other doctrines that we need to refute, that we cannot give into, even though they're very, very popular. We'll talk about another one on next week. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you have never obeyed the gospel. There are individuals who teach the wrong plan of salvation today. We'll talk about that. There are people who say all you have to do is believe and you'll be saved. Or just say the sinner's prayer. It's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says you need to repent and be baptized. Acts 2 at verse 38. Are you willing to do that? If you haven't done that, you're outside of the ark of safety. The good news is you can obey the gospel. You can become a new creature in Christ this very night. In just a couple of minutes. The invitation song will be sung and you'll have the opportunity to come forward and to make your confession in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, and be buried in the waters of baptism and you'll be saved. You can start serving God the right way. I hope if you're subject to an invitation that you'll do something about that. If you have and you have drifted away, you've been unfaithful, well, that's not going to get you to heaven. You have to repent and pray God. Ask him for forgiveness. John said he's faithful and just to forgive you. But you have to do your part. Do what's right. If you're in an undone condition, rectify it and do it right now as we together stand and sing.